What is that thing in your life that keeps stealing your joy? That thing that just gives you this nagging unhappiness every time you think about it. Maybe it's the way you look. Maybe it's something about your finances, your career, your job, your marriage, your health, your education. If you're like most people, you have at least one of those. One thing that every time it comes to mind just throws a bucket of cold water all over your joy and the fires of your happiness. And you just wish that area of your life were different. And you don't just wish it, but it's a wishing that hurts. It's kind of a ache in your soul. So what is it for you? And some people can't answer that question. For some people, they feel the ache. They feel something isn't right, but they can't really put their finger on what's making them unhappy. They just feel kind of empty, unfulfilled. Whether you're in the first group or the second group, today's passage is going to help.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
The only way that you're going to join the Lord is with contentment. So how do you get it? Everyone realizes that we need it, but it's not easy because discontent is just kind of our default. That's just built into us. John D. Rockefeller was the richest man in the world at his time, and somebody asked him, how much money is enough? And his answer, just a little bit more. So that's the way it is. You know, we roll our eyes at the athlete that gets $15 million a year and is not enough, but are we any different than that? I mean, we, like I said before, you and I have luxuries that the greatest kings and the monarchs of human history never even dreamed of. And we enjoy them, and yet we're not satisfied. Immanuel Kant had a good statement. He said, give a man everything he wants, and at that moment he will feel like everything is not everything. So you finally get everything you wanted, and you realize, okay, this isn't everything. And that's true. The problem is most people never learn that because they never get all that stuff. The preacher in Ecclesiastes did. He is rich enough where he could do it. He just tried it. He tried, okay, I'll try to just indulge everything. And he's like, okay, yeah, it turns out it doesn't work. But most of us don't have enough money to try that experiment. So we just keep thinking, this next thing, that next missing piece in my life, if I just had that, then I could really be happy. I have an aunt who is a wonderful lady. Growing up, I just remember she really, really liked nice things. Her husband made pretty good money, built her a dream home at the mountains, and she just kind of lived kind of like a queen is the way I remember her when I was a kid. Heaven help you if you ever tracked any mud on her carpet. Everything was super nice. I got word one day, and this was a while after he had retired and everything, and I get word, they're not living in that mountain home anymore. I'm like, oh, what happened? Where'd they go? And I found out they're living in a little shack in a Bible camp, volunteering in the office full-time, year-round in this camp. I just couldn't believe my ears. I couldn't even imagine her. I had worked at that camp, and I know what it's like. It's not like a young life camp or a really nice camp. It's rough in it. Even living there for a summer, as a young man, it was rough in it. To live there year-round for someone as delicate as she was, I just couldn't picture it. I was amazed. I thought, man, something changed. The next time I saw her, she was the happiest I'd ever seen her. And she came to our church one time, and that morning, there happened to be a family in our church having a rough time. They just gotten back from vacation where everything went wrong. And on top of everything going wrong, the woman lost her wedding. And my aunt happened to be in church that day. She heard about that. She just goes up to this woman after church and takes the wedding ring off her finger, just gives it to her. And this woman that she'd never met before, probably never see again. And she couldn't have been happier to do that. And I talked with my aunt afterwards, and she told me, she says, Daryl, I just wish I could tell these young women not to chase after the things in the world like I did. I almost wasted my whole life doing that. And when I had everything I ever dreamed of, I realized it wasn't satisfying. And when then she started going outward and giving, then she was happy. Most of us never learn that because discontent is just hardwired into us. And not only is it inside us, naturally occurring, but it's coming at us from the culture too. Billions of dollars are spent every year for the sole purpose of making you discontent. That's what all advertising is, commercials are, that's what everything is all about, making you discontent. You're fine, right? You're fine. You got everything you want, everything you need. All of a sudden you hear some ads like, oh, I need that. I mean, I listen to advertising. I find out I need stuff I don't even want. It's like, oh man, I thought I was doing fine, but now I'm terrible condition. I need antioxidants or something. The free radicals are killing me and I've got to find all this stuff. And I just realized they have a way of making us discontent when we were fine. These people are incredibly good at what they do. They have advanced degrees in finding out someone just like you, your demographic profile, how to make you feel discontent. And so we got forces from the inside, forces from the outside, feeding the fires of discontent and covetousness and greed inside us. How can we possibly learn contentment with all that going on? You want to hear some great news? Some really great news? If you play your cards right, you can learn contentment through getting things from God, getting gifts from God. If you handle it right. It's not automatic, but look at verse 10. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Now, when you just read that verse, your initial thought is, you're just like, wait a minute. If Paul's happiness is unrelated to temporal circumstances, why is he suddenly so happy when he gets this big financial gift? If he's just as content with money or without money, why is he so happy because he just got money? That sounds kind of fishy, right? He gets a bunch of money and suddenly he's got joy in the Lord. Well, what would you say this if someone told you, I just got this huge check unexpectedly in the mail and suddenly I've learned the secret of contentment. I mean, you'd say, wait a minute, no, you just like money. If receiving the gift was the occasion for having especially great joy, how does that square with what we've just learned about contentment? Look again at verse 10. And notice what he says he's rejoicing over. He doesn't say, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that I received your gift. What does he say? He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. The money was just an expression of something deeper, which was concern. And it was that concern that brought him encouragement. Now, still, that's no big surprise, right? Because everybody likes to be remembered and cared for. We all enjoy hearing that somebody who is out there loves us and is concerned about us. So that's just normal. What's not normal is seeing, and here's where it all comes together. This is the crux of everything. What's not normal is seeing that concern as ultimately coming from God. So this is the key to the whole thing. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern. If you underline the phrase in the Lord and the word you, then you'll see what this is getting here. I rejoice greatly in God that you did something. He sees their concern for him and their love for him as coming from God. When people showed love to him, he saw that as a gift from God. Because remember what he said back in chapter 2? Everything Christians do, they do it because the Holy Spirit works in them to will and to act, right? So if the Philippians decided to show their love to Paul, it was God that brought that about. God that moved in their will to bring that about. So when Paul saw this big pile of money land in his lap, instead of thinking, oh, now I can pay my rent, or, oh, now I can have some food after I've gone 2 days without food, or whatever, instead of that, he's saying, oh, look, God's saying I love you again. That was his reaction, and he's doing it through the Philippians. He saw their concern as coming from God. It was the Lord's doing, and it was the Lord who moved the Philippians to renew their concern for Paul. And it was the Lord who moved them to express that concern in the form of a financial gift to support Paul in the progress of the gospel, which was the only thing Paul cared about. And so that made it that much sweeter. We saw the same thing back in chapter 1. Verse 3, he said, I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He's referring to their financial support there. There's a partnership in the gospel. And he's rejoicing over that, and he's thanking God for it. Right? I thank God every time I remember. Now, no doubt, he's also thankful to the Philippians, but he's especially thankful to God because God was the primary actor in getting that going. So when somebody shows you love, when someone is concerned about you, they care about you, somebody supports you, you get some money, anytime anything like that happens, it's from God. So how can a person be content with a lot? How can we get to the point where you get a bonus at work or a gift from or somebody or some other blessing and we're happy in the Lord, not in the blessing? By keeping your focus on the source of the blessing and on what it means. What is the source? God. What does it mean? It's a gesture of God's special, personalized, in-the-moment love for you right now, at this moment. Where God says, let me just express it this way right now. They're expressions of God's affection for you. You know, we talked about this back in verse 6 when we were talking about gratitude. The more times per day that you just stop and enjoy the various gestures of God's love that He's giving to you at that moment and respond back to God in a positive way, the happier you're going to be in the Lord. And that happiness is going to be rejoicing in the Lord rather than rejoicing in the gift. The joy you have in the Lord will dwarf the gift, right? Just like when a woman has a man of her dreams get on a knee and hand her a ring. Maybe she likes to have a little bit of gold or a diamond, but her delight in a diamond is dwarfed by her delight in what it means. And we miss that so often because we can get so focused on what God hasn't given us instead of what He has given us. And if you're focused on what God hasn't given you, you're always going to be miserable. No matter how much God gives you, you'll always be miserable because there'll always be an infinite amount that He didn't give you. At the beginning of the study, I started right out asking you, what is that thing in your life, or that circumstance in your life that keeps stealing your joy because it's just not what you want it to be and you're banging up against that providence? Whatever that thing is, ask yourself, am I coveting that? Am I discontent about God's providential arrangement in that area of my life? Am I focusing on what God hasn't given me instead of on what He has given me? Imagine a woman whose husband comes home and brings her a box of chocolates and 2 dozen roses. And she just gets angry and furious because all she can think about is all those millions of other roses that he didn't give her. That's insane, right? You would never, no woman would do that. It's ridiculous to think about that. And yet, isn't that exactly what we do when we lack contentment? God gives us 2 dozen roses and all we get our eye on some other rose that he didn't give us. So what's that one area where your life bangs up against divine providence? How about if we just spent this next coming week, as often as we can remember, to repent of that covetousness, ingratitude, and turn all our energy, that energy we're spending on that, turn it towards the 2 dozen roses that God has given you, rather than on what He hasn't given you, the one that He hasn't given you yet. So let's just close by taking a moment for some silent prayer and try to pinpoint those one or two things in your life where there may be some discontent and just once and for all just submit to God's perfect wisdom in that area. Trust Him. Be thankful for what He's done, what He's given you. Get your eyes off the roses that He hasn't given you. Heavenly Father, week after week in church, we sing songs about how You're enough. You're more than enough. Forgive us, Lord, for living like You're not enough. And we got to have something else. Forgive us for thinking that we're so wise that we know things would have been better if You would have given us a little different personality trait or body type or financial situation, job, career, whatever. We know You're in control. You're even in control of the mistakes that You've allowed us to make. And we trust You. Thank You, Lord, for the constant gestures of Your love that You give us. The personalized ones that are different. The ones that You gave me just today that are different than what You gave anybody else in this room. And the ones that You gave them that were unique for them. Teach us, Lord, to enjoy that. Make us a contented people that just advertises a God who is more than enough.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.